1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show.
Charlie LaFount is with us, an advertising agency executive. Now, what was it that you were talking about?
Well, I was mentioning to you, Phil, we're looking to get David Westerfield as an advertising pitchman. Lock him up for a minimum of 3-year contract. We can get him into a variety of pitch opportunities.
David Westerfield.
That is correct. Products that are directed toward men. Cologne, tires, beer and spirits, a lot of the dairy products, the cheeses, because of the snack food with football season. We would love to approach Carl's Jr. Right now they've got a brilliant campaign. I'm sure you heard the tagline, without us, some guys would starve. And yes, for instance, David Westerfield.
Why in the hell would you use a scumbag like that who is convicted of murder?
Let me hold on. Don't get excited on me, okay?
Why would you use a scumbag like that as a pitchman for advertising products?
Let me explain. The advertising business, Phil, is a business right now. The bad boy image is selling. This is what motivates your 18 to 34 year old men. And the public wants someone who's street real, what we call street real in the advertising business. Look at Allen Iverson. You know who he is, don't you?
Yeah, the basketball player.
All right, this is a great kid. He's a delightful scumbag. He's pitching Reebok shoes. This guy was arrested for throwing a gun around and then beating up his wife.
Let
me finish. Robert Downey Jr. You know that name, don't you?
I know Robert Downey Jr.'s name, yeah.
All right, he's a marvelously street real junkie. He's a drug addict and a loser, but he's a great pitch man. And right now they use Robert Downey Jr. for selling Skechers, which are the shoes. All right, so they're using Allen Iverson for Reebok. They're using Robert Downey Jr. And don't get me wrong, I'm not condoning their actions. But these guys, Phil...
What is the appeal of using a guy like David Westerfield?
All of these guys, Phil, are rebels. They're like James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause. And I don't know if you saw Rebel Without a Cause, but they're rebels. James Dean was a bad boy, a badass. Forgive me for saying this, but they would have bought... Tell you something. The teenagers of the 1950s would have bought a case of herpes off of James Dean if you could have used him as an advertiser.
Well, you mentioned Allen Iverson.
Yeah, he's a magnificent scumbag. He's very saleable.
Who else?
Well, I mentioned Robert Downey Jr., and then you've got this degenerate gambler, Pete Rose.
Pete Rose.
Right, that's Pete Rose, a wonderfully drawn dirtbag who sold out the entire sport of baseball and is probably one of the reasons baseball is ready to self-destruct. And they use Pete Rose to sell pony sneakers.
All right, but...
And you also, Phil, they got Jack Tatum. You know who he is.
Jack Tatum's a former Oakland Raider, yeah, and he crippled a man on the football field.
That's exactly right. A terrible thing, but Jack Tatum is a marvelous crafted piece of garbage, and he's pitching these pony sneakers. I mean, think of it. There's a guy out there right now sucking chicken through a straw because of Jack Tatum, and Jack Tatum is selling the hell... I mean, he's selling the hell out of these pony sneakers like James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause. And I don't know if you saw it.
Yeah, I saw James Dean and Rebel Without a Cause. How can you compare, though, James Dean's character in that movie, which was a troubled youth sort of, you know, kind of looking for meaning in this kind of empty bourgeois life, to David Westerfield, who's a murdering sociopath without any merit?
The average person doesn't look that deep into the character. You're getting deep. You want to be Deepak Chopra about this, you can be that. But there's no hidden meaning. These are all bad boys. They're attractive. And they're motivational scum of the earth. This Robert Downey, he'd stick his nose into sawdust. They're all marvelous, wonderful crap bags.
And well, for some reason, I do see a difference between Robert Downey Jr.
Phil, you do, but the average person doesn't. That's why David Westerfield's a perfect pitch man for cologne and all of that.
David Westerfield's going to be a pitch man for cologne.
Did you see Rebel Without a Cause? The idea.
I saw it already.
All right. Rebels Without Merit. Rebels Without Cause. The same thing is what we're talking about.
All right. So you got Allen Iverson is selling Reebok sneakers. Robert Downey Jr. is selling Skechers. And you want to have David Westerfield pitching what?
Anything. You could have beer, spirits, all products aimed at men.
I don't think it's the same thing.
Well, you may not, but the average person doesn't look that deep. They see them all the same way.
So the average guy out there says Allen Iverson, David Westerfield, Pete Rose, all the same guy.
That is what we have learned at advertising, yes.
Charlie LaFountain is with us. He's an ad exec. They're looking to lock up David Westerfield as a spokesman. I gotta tell you, this is gonna kill you.
No, trust me. when I say that the bad boy image is... Why do you think Robert Downey Jr. is selling sneakers? Why do you think Allen Iverson? Why do you think this degenerate gambler Pete Rose? Why do you think this murderous piece of garbage Jack Tatum? Because that's what people like.
All right. Our number here on the Phil Hendry Show is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking with an advertising executive named Charlie LaFountain, who we've had on the program before, about pitchmen, people who sell products. And you guys are looking to lock up David Westerfield because as far as... And this is the guy that was convicted of murdering that child. Because you think, in your mind, he's the same thing as James Dean?
Phil, listen to me.
Well, even if I'm a guy that's looking more deeply...
That's exactly right. You look more deeply into this than the average person listening to you. Let me tell you something. Right now, you've got a lot of people listening to your program right now who are not as intelligent as you, and I'm sure they're nice people and they love their children, but they're not as intelligent. They're not going to look at that deeply. When we talk about advertising and we talk about pitching an advertising message, we're talking about pitching a message to a mentality that is, the average mentality out there is about 8 years old.
Well, you're talking about pitching to adults.
Yeah, but the average mentality of adults is around 8 years old. And so we can say, David, did you get the copy that I faxed to you?
I've got some copy that you faxed. This is advertising copy that you're going to have David Westerfield read.
If we can get... Look, the first time the public sees Westerfield standing on the screen with his favorite golf club, I think there's going to be a frenzy for the club far more than Tiger Woods could ever do.
Why am I going to buy a golf club from David? I don't understand this whole ad game. Look, I got this...
That's exactly right. You don't understand the game. But I do.
All right, I got this copy here. Hi, I'm David Westerfield for Firestone. What kind of snow tires do you have?
Right. That's the sample copy.
Okay, and here's one. Hi, I'm David Westerfield for the Wisconsin Cheese Council. Now that football season is here, try a snack of Wisconsin Sharp. You're kidding, right?
Again, you don't understand the advertising business the way I understand the advertising.
I don't see the correlation between a bad boy like Allen Iverson or a bad boy like Robert Downey and a scumbag like...
Well, aren't we being selective? So Allen Iverson's a bad boy, but David Westerfield's a scumbag. How do you figure?
Well, at least they didn't kill anybody.
That guy tried to beat his wife up. You got Pete Rose responsible for the destruction of baseball. You got Robert Downey Jr. who tried to snort everything between here and the Procter Gamble plant. You got Jack Tatum who crippled a man for life. This guy is in a pony sneakers. All of these guys are marvelously drawn, wonderfully crafted pieces of crap. And we love to use them in advertising.
Here's your copy here. Hi, I'm, what is this here? Hi, I'm David Westerfield. Trust me. Old Spice for men is the cologne I wear. You're never going to get Old Spice, and you're never going to get...
Look, these words, three words for your audience, Mr. Henry. Bad boys sell.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Old Spice and Carl's... Hi, I'm David Westerfield. Try Old Spice cologne? This is a guy that was just convicted not 2 days ago of cold-blooded murder, and they want to use him in this advertising agency as a pitch man for products. Why? Because the bad boy image sells. I personally believe there's a difference between an Allen Iverson, a Robert Downey Jr., or even a Jack Tatum, and a David Westerfield. Now, according to Mr. LaFountain, you know, I get it because I'm in the media, but most people out there don't. 1-800-449-8686. Am I alone here, or is this kind of an obvious thing? 1-800-449-8686. We're talking to Charlie LaFountain, advertising agency executive, about the bad boy image in advertising. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
And our number is 1-800-449-8686 with Charlie LaFountain, advertising agent who believes that David Westerfield, just convicted of murder, what are those dogs barking for, by the way?
Phil, I'm at the kennel picking up our dogs for the weekend. We'd had our dogs boarded for the weekend because we'd been in New York.
You want to use David Westerfield as a pitch man, the same way people use Allen Iverson, Robert Downey Jr., and Pete Rose for sneakers and Skechers and everything else.
That is correct. And people, let me say this, Phil. I don't want to argue with you. Believe me when I say that people will have no choice. When they see David Westerfield on the screen, they'll buy what he's selling.
How do you... I don't get that.
Believe me, I'm an advertising man. I've been in the advertising business for 30 years, and I can tell a compelling bad boy, a rough-and-tumble guy, a rebel without a cause, and David... Every man has a fantasy to be a bad boy. I think David Westerfield fulfills that. And
the guy's a kid killer.
You're in the media, though. You see what I'm saying? So
So my inability to understand this is reflected in the fact that I work in the radio business, so I don't get it.
You do not get it. The people listening to your broadcast right now will buy what David Westerfield pitches, whether it's Carl's Jr., Firestone Tires, Budweiser beer, you name it.
1-800-449-8686, 1-800-449-8686, with Charlie LaFountain. David Westerfield is an advertising pitch man. Here is Jessica. Hello.
Hello. I just wanted to say to Charlie, the ad man, that you are a retarded man if you think America is going to sit by and let you put a convicted child molester in ads for anything.
Well, wait a second.
You do not give Americans enough credit for brains.
I just proved that they will. You got Allen Iverson who beat...
No, you didn't prove anything. Allen Iverson was signed up with Reebok before he got in trouble. It's got nothing to do with
it. Okay, but they didn't fire him, did they? And why didn't they fire him? Because they like the bad boy image.
There's a difference between somebody who has a domestic dispute and somebody who is a pedophile and kills children.
Some guy pistol whips his wife. That's all right with you. All right. You know, and I know you don't believe that.
No. I don't know that Allen Iverson...
I'm not saying it's all right with me. I'm saying I don't know how you can count them on the same scale.
It's perfectly fine with you for a man to take a gun and pistol whip his wife.
I didn't say that.
There's a tie-in with David Westerfield in terms of the... And I understand he killed a kid, and that's a terrible thing, but you could use
him... No, you don't think it's such a terrible thing if you want to promote him to sell anything to
the American
people.
Well, whoever takes
him up and hires him on, I will boycott him.
No, you know that you'll buy anything he sells.
No, you don't know anything.
I do, because I've been in advertising for 25 years.
Well, how do you know what she's going to...
Look, we've got a wonderful tie-in, David Westerfield for the Gymboree. Now, the gym...
Wait, this guy killed a kid. You're going to have him advertising a gymnasium, a little jungle gym for kids?
I think it's a tie-in, yes.
I think you need to step down out of the ad business.
Ma'am, I've been in the business for 25 years.
I think you've been in it too long.
Did you ever see what you believe, that a
convicted child killer can sell children's things to the public? You're steering your clients wrong.
Ma'am, Oshkosh, I could pitch...
Oshkosh.
Or FAO Schwartz.
I think you need to ask them first.
Well, no, we will. We're going to pitch them. And I'm given to understand from friends of the business that I should pitch them on the basis of the particular kind of appeal that he has. Look, you got Jack Tatum.
The man has no appeal. The man doesn't even deserve to draw any more breath.
Let me ask you a question. Jack Tatum sells sneakers. Pete Rose sells baseballs. What would David Westerfield sell?
David Westerfield needs to sell the electric chair.
He would sell jungle gyms. If you saw an ad for...
Jungle Gyms.
If you saw an ad for the Lady Bic with David Westerfield, you know you'd be dreaming about shaving your legs. Not just wanting to go out and buy it, you'd be dreaming about it at night until you get to the store. Isn't that right, ma'am? Hello, Jessica? See, you know what she's doing right now?
What?
She's thinking about it.
No, I'm explaining to my sister-in-law why I'm ready to just jump into this phone.
Why don't you put your sister-in-law on? Give her an opportunity to talk about this.
I certainly will.
I could get David Westerfield to pitch McDonald's kids' meals. And
oh, come on.
I told you.
All right, Jack Tatum advertises sneakers.
Hello?
Hello, yes. Who is this?
Yes.
Who is this?
Lisa.
Okay, Lisa. Did you have something you wanted to say? I mean...
I wanted to talk to Lisa. Lisa, this is Charlie LaFountain. How are you? Lisa?
Yes?
This is Charlie LaFountain. How are you?
Good.
All right, I wanted to ask you a question. You know who David Westerfield is?
Yes.
All right. Wouldn't you buy a product if he endorsed it? For instance, Lady Bic or Tonka Trucks?
No.
No, she wouldn't.
I would buy a thing if he endorsed it. Not one thing. Matter of fact...
You know what? I can tell you're lying, and I know why. It's okay. You don't want to make your sister angry.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right.
If David Westerfield was pitching Mazingale, the fresh as a daisy scent, you'd have...
Okay. Are you dead serious about that, huh?
I'm telling you that Westerfield, we've been in touch with public television, and I think that there's a tie-in terms of the Sesame Street characters.
The guy killed a kid, you idiot. You idiot.
Phil, I understand we've been friends for 25 years, but I don't have to take that from anyone.
You're an idiot. He killed a kid, and he's going to be pitching. What has that got to do with him pitching Mazingale feminine hygiene?
You know, I don't come on here and tell you how to do a radio.
Look, Charlie.
Phil, am I right or am I wrong? Do I come on here and tell you how to do a radio show?
No, you don't.
Then how is it that you feel empowered to come on the telephone asking me to come on as a guest? And
you called my producer. You wanted to come on. I didn't call you.
No, you called us.
Bull crap. You called us.
No. My secretary said that Mr. Pelton placed a phone call at 1 o'clock.
Because we were following up on your guys' request to come on the program.
That's bull crap.
You're full of crap. And what's this Westerfield Whopper combo?
That's an idea we've got for Burger King.
Oh, yeah.
Phil, I'm going to tell you something. We are approaching on a multi-pronged approach, Gold Bond Powder, Loves, and Johnson & Johnson No More Tears, because we feel that the...
You're going to get laughed out of every office you walk into. No, you won't get laughed out. I take that back. Somebody's going to pull a gun. Someone's going to pull a gun.
So you are accusing Johnson & Johnson, Loves, and that other one that I was mentioning, Burger King. You're going to accuse them of committing murder?
I would, if I was in charge of...
If you were in charge of Burger King.
If I was in charge of Burger King, and you came into my office and you said, "Hi, Mr. Henry, we'd like to have the Westerfield Whopper combo at Burger King," I'd pull a gun and I'd shoot you.
Then you would be guilty of murder. The same thing that Mr. Westerfield is guilty of. And yet, I still think you're a viable pitchman. You understand what I'm saying?
So a guy can commit murder and he's still a viable pitchman because he's a bad boy.
That is correct. And again, you don't know the advertising business. I know the advertising business.
1-800-449-8686. I want to bring on our program director, David. He is the vice president of syndication for our program, David G. Hall. Mr. Hall, do you know Mr. LaFountain?
I know of Mr. LaFountain. How are you, Charlie?
I'm very good, thanks.
So the reason why I wanted to come on is I wanted to kind of stop you a little bit here in what you're saying, because we have some interest in bringing David Westerfield on as a talk show host. The idea is...
You're kidding me, right? What's he going to talk about, man? How to dump a body?
See, again, Mr. Hall, I've had this problem with him.
No, that's... I understand this. Phil's a little impetuous. He's a little headstrong. Let me explain something to you, Phil. You got to strike while the iron's hot. This guy's hot. In the entertainment business, it's called having heat. And I think this guy is hot. He's got a lot of heat. He's
hot.
That's right.
Got a lot of heat. Phil, don't say anything bad about Westerfield. You might end up working for him someday in terms of...
No, I wouldn't say that, but I would say that Phil's got to watch his step, I think, and some of the things he's saying, because if he starts bagging on this guy, and let's say tomorrow we want to hire him as a talk show host...
That's exactly right. And
what are you going to hire this cat? I'm going to tell you something right now. If you ever hire David Westerfield as a talk show host,
yeah,
I'll quit.
No, you can't quit because you got a contract. And we will sue you if you don't show up for work every morning with a smile on your face.
I'll quit and I'll let you sue me.
Big talk from a guy that hasn't been sued in a while, you know?
You know, Phil, it's easy to be a big hero, but you quit your job and then you got a company suing you and you haven't got a pot to piss in. I'd watch what you say.
Well, you know what? I would.
I'm doing spec shows with Heidi Fleiss right now. So what are you?
Well, big difference.
And you know that we're looking at a morning zoo show with you and me.
Big difference between hiring David Westerfield to do a talk show or having him do a pitch for Burger King with the Westerfield Whopper.
Again, it's something you don't understand because you're not in the advertising business. But it is something that the people will do.
They'll have no choice. You put Westerfield up on TV, pitching jock straps, Gold Bond medicated powder, snow tires, garbage can lids, Miracle-Gro. I like the idea of him doing Miracle-Gro. I don't know, it feels as...
Miracle-Gro.
Yeah, because James Whitmore's gotten so tired with the pants up to the chest, and...
All right, hold on. 1-800-449-8686. Is the number. David G. Hall and the other guy, Charlie LaFountain, talking about David Westerfield as an advertising pitchman.
1-800-449-8686. And now more on The Phil Hendry Show.
I don't believe there's a way in hell that you're going to get David Westerfield as a spokesperson for Winnebago.
Phil, let me explain something.
By the way, I have David Hall on, our vice president of syndication, and Charlie LaFountain, who is an advertising executive.
Well, let me explain something, Phil, okay?
Go ahead.
Mr. LaFountain is in the advertising business. How many years, Charlie?
We're going on 25 years with our ad agency.
All right, 25 years. Are you in the advertising business?
I'm in the radio business.
No. Are you in the advertising business?
No, I'm not.
Then you will stop telling Mr. LaFountain his business.
But wait a minute.
Did you hear what I said? You're going to stop telling this man his business. If he thinks that David Westerfield could do menswear ads, then he's the guy who can, you know, he knows what he's doing.
Phil, believe me, I know it sounds unusual, but everybody loves the bad boy image.
This is not a bad boy, okay? And the idea that you sent over to me copy for David Westerfield to be a spokesperson for Vicks VapoRub offends me personally.
Do you? I'm going to ask the question for the last time. Are you?
No, I'm not in the advertising business.
Then I would respectfully say, shut up. Bad host, down boy.
Phil, I don't mean to be offensive, but just leave the advertising to me. You can run your mouth. Leave the advertising to me.
I'm entitled to an opinion, aren't I?
Yeah, but to a point. But your big mouth is starting to get wearying. Mr. LaFountain is trying to line up David Westerfield as a spokesperson for Forest Lawn. Who are you to say...
Forest Lawn?
Who are you to say it's not right?
Well, I think it's a natural tie-in.
Oh, yeah, that's a natural tie-in, considering he murdered somebody. 1-800-449-8686. We're talking about bad boy pitchmen in advertising. Allen Iverson, Robert Downey Jr., Pete Rose, Jack the Assassin Tatum, and now David Westerfield, who just murdered a child and is going to go away, we hope, for the rest of his life, if not cook someplace on an electric chair. Here is Angela on The Phil Hendry Show. Angela? 1-800-449-8686. All right, we lost... let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa. You're on The Phil Hendry Show.
Hi.
Hi.
I am a first-time caller, first-time listener.
Yes, ma'am.
And I was challenged to listen to this show tonight, and I have hit the roof already. This guy is twisted.
Lisa, this is David Hawley, Vice President of Syndication. Are you in the advertising business?
I don't need to be. I'm in the consumer business.
Well, I understand, but you're not in the advertising business, right?
No, you're not. You obviously...
You know, so what do you know about it, you know?
Well, wait a minute. She's entitled to an opinion.
Yeah, but she doesn't know about it.
I feel like you are exploiting these children. You are helping Westerfield to exploit the killing of children.
I don't understand that. All we're doing is...
Oh, you don't understand that, but you understand to sell David Westerfield?
Well, what we're trying to...
You're just as guilty as he is for the killing.
We're trying to get a natural tie-in, Lisa, between David Westerfield and Winnebago. Because...
Winnebago?
That's correct. That's what he drove that night.
Yeah, do you see the natural tie-in there, Lisa?
Oh, you can see it, but it's sick and it's twisted. Don't you see it?
I see what he did was sick and twisted, but America is in love with bad boys.
No, they're not.
Well, what about Allen Iverson?
You keep
I'm
bringing
up... I'm in love with you.
What?
You're obviously a bad boy.
Well, what about Allen Iverson? What about
this?
What about Robert Downey Jr.? Everybody thinks
what
he's...
I am.
Everyone thinks he's cool. Robert Downey...
I don't think he's cool. Not everyone. I don't know who... I think you're speaking for an entire world, and you haven't even listened to him.
Lisa, this is Charlie LaFountain. I wanted to ask you, give me your opinion on each of these advertising concepts. David Westerfield for Sears Home and Gardening.
Oh, boy.
Absolutely not.
All right, what about the History Channel, A Week of Famous Murders? He could host it.
Absolutely not. He should be on it.
You don't like anything, do you? Hey, Lisa, you don't like anything, do you? Hey, what do you do for fun?
No,
just sit in the basement?
I don't like you, and I don't like your tactics. And
what
I think
about,
you're sick.
What about David Westerfield pitching family portraits at Sears?
Oh, come on!
Oh, please.
You know, the problem...
I don't want to see his face at Sears.
The problem with you, Lisa, is you don't get a kick out of life.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, no,
right.
I do.
You're always...
But I get sickened by people like you.
What did I do? All I'm saying is Mr. LaFountain's been in the advertising business for...
25 years.
25 years.
25 years. You should know you should not do that. You're hurting the children, let alone everyone else.
Phil, could you read the advertising copy we just faxed you?
I got it right here. Hi, I'm David Westerfield for the Tidy Dighty Diaper Service.
What do you think?
I think you are totally so
flippant. I think you flipped your freaking lid. That's what I think.
No, you are so immoral, you are wrong.
Wait a second. If we've got him hosting the A&E Biography Week...
Will you come on? And by the way, when are you going to pick your dog up?
What?
You're at a kennel and all I'm hearing are freaking dogs.
I'm waiting for my dog to be brought around the back.
I really think this guy Westerfield has charisma. I mean, people were glued to the trial, weren't they? You bet. Why? Because the guy's got something. He's got that intangible.
No, I think you're seeing it in the wrong way.
He's got that intangible. The reason why people were glued to that trial...
Excuse me, is anybody talking to you, Phil?
I thought you were...
I'm talking to the listener.
Go ahead,
Lisa.
Phil.
No.
Take the words out of my mouth.
No, Lisa, you go ahead. I don't want to hear Phil talk.
I was going to say...
You shut up. I want to hear her. Go ahead, Lisa. Don't you think
you're sick.
Don't you think Westerfield's got that intangible? He's got that something?
He's got a lot of heat.
Sickness?
A lot of heat, yeah.
Evil sickness? Yeah, I do.
What about David Westerfield for Amco?
Are you crazy?
He's got a sick mind.
Every one of the companies that you mentioned, if you have David Westerfield pitching...
What about U.S. Airways?
They're out of business, okay? So you can't put them out of business.
They're going to promote him.
Can you imagine David Westerfield saying, come back to Jamaica, your new island home? That's gold.
Oh, I don't think
all
so.
Right. Okay, Lisa, thank you for...
I'm done. Whoa.
No, she doesn't go until I dismiss her. You can go now.
Hey, is my dog ready yet? How about this, Phil? Hi, I'm David Westerfield for sunny San Diego, America's best-kept secret...
Okay.
Where's my dog?
Is he going to pick your dog up?
I don't know where it is.
The guy's standing at a kennel. What a jackass. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. You want to put all those companies out of business? You want to see them all go belly up? Just go bist a big dive? Yeah, put that guy ahead of all the pitching. Hi, I'm David Westerfield for the Tidy Dighty Diaper Service. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, I'm David Westerfield. Have you tried Snorries? It's a...
All right, so that was me doing the voice, by the way, of Charlie DeFountain and David Hall in that bit concerning David Westerfield as a ad man pitching products. My producer, Janice Ngaro, didn't come racing in here, but she came in here with a furrowed brow after we finished that bit. Why, Janice?
I thought we took the easy way out. I think we should have worked a little harder to dig in and find another reason. Instead of the easy kid Winnebago stuff. We didn't work hard enough.
We didn't work hard enough at finding a way to satirize this. We just fell back on kid things like Vicks VapoRub.
Right.
And Winnebago.
And diapers.
And diaper
and,
services.
And I agree.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm a firm believer if you have a thought, if you think it should go some other way, then you should come up with it. And
right.
If you can't think of something, then keep your yap shut. But
well, no. I mean, you know, we were sitting there during the first break, and I said... I think what's funny are the different products. And,
right.
and we got into Burger King. You didn't have a problem with Burger King,
no,
did
I
you?
No, I thought the Burger King was very funny. The Westerfield Whopper was very funny.
Westerfield Whopper and all of that? It was
but
when...
the Westerfield Winnebago wasn't funny. See, because that's, you know...
And look at this jackass laughing.
No, but we've worked really hard. We've worked really hard all year to never go the victim to
make fun of the victims.
And we've been very good.
And
I
if
think,
I had
if
I
that.
You know what, I didn't make the connection. I did not make the connection through that entire thing. I never made the connection in my mind. We're actually drawing the victim into here, into this as a thing of ridicule, and by saying Winnebago, by saying diaper service, by saying this kind of thing.
Right. Whereas Wisconsin cheese,
Wisconsin cheese is very funny. Yeah. Yeah, you were really disappointed in that because you're right. Yeah. We had worked all year. This is a new thing, you guys. That we see, we study and we actually do comedy on our show. A lot of shows don't even take the time to even study or analyze what they do, and we do because we actually respect the process. And early on, when we talk to some people, is never make the victim the object of a joke or a bit of satire that you're doing on the air.
Yeah, we
like for instance, the anniversary of John Lennon's murder. Somebody had the idea of doing some shtick about John Lennon, and somebody said, it's not about John Lennon, it's about the fans and about the murderer.
Exactly. Right. We satirize the underbelly of what people think.
Right.
And not where the victim could be affected.
Right, and we keep the victim out of it.
Right.
But weren't you here when we did those JonBenet Ramsey bits?
No, that was before my time.
Okay, see, you should have been here, because as I recall, under the previous producer, this show was wallowing in just the scum. And there was one thing where we did JonBenet Ramsey, we did a bit where she got into a full-on fist fight with her mother and, like, busted a table over her mom's head, and her mother killed her in self-defense.
But no, but...
You think that's funny?
Well, I think that because we always wonder what JonBenet Ramsey could have been like. Maybe we don't know if she was a nice little girl or a bad little girl. She could have had temper tantrums. See, to me, that could be a possibility. That she whacked her mom with a coffee table?
Yeah.
I would enjoy that.
No, seriously. You don't think that's satirizing the victim in that case?
No, because we're not being graphic about how she died.
Okay. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I got you. All right.
Okay.
Janice, by the way, knows her stuff because she won the Susan Westenhofer Comedy Award in Canada. Can anybody tell, by the way, that Janice is Canadian? All right. Eh? Good job, though, but you're right. And that's the whole thing when you're doing this kind of stuff on the air. You know, just come out, man, and just let it all flow out of your mouth like diarrhea. There has to be a point to what you're doing. There has to be a build-up. There has to be a story arc, and there has to be a conclusion. This is how you do radio comedy, and we've been doing it for a long time on this program. We know. You ain't going to find us getting thrown off the air anytime soon, are you? Or maybe, I don't know. You're not going to see me all of a sudden without a gig, without a network, without a job, without a contract, just suddenly sitting at home sucking my thumb, hugging a pillow and wondering where I'm going to work next. No, not me. You want to know why? Because I got a TV deal with NBC. Oh, God. And even during that conversation, Janice, I got Pelton in there writing stuff. How about David Westerfield for Quaker Oats? David Westerfield selling life insurance to old folks. David Westerfield and Jackie Chan in a buddy cop flick. And finally, Westerfield doing great stories of the Bible on books on tape. That is grotesque beyond words. Okay, our number is 1-800-449-8686. Maybe you guys want to weigh in on some of these things. You know, we never really ask you guys your opinion about how to construct a funny bit because, well, frankly, most of you don't know how, but... There's a lot of we got a really bright audience. I mean, that's all there is to it. We have an extremely hip audience. We have the hippest audience in radio, and you know, most people get exactly how this thing works. So anyway, let me tell you about something that we'd like you guys to be a part of, because we want to get all of you people together, myself included. We want to kind of draw all the listeners together. We have not yet had a general meeting. We haven't really had a listener meeting, and this is going to be the first ever. And I'd like you to join me for Phil Henry Live at the Luxor Las Vegas Party, September 27th through the 29th. Or if you'd like, the first ever Phil Henry listener meeting. Now, this weekend will kick off on Friday, the 27th of September, with our Phil Henry Show Happy Hour and a live broadcast of our show. Then on Saturday night, we'd like you to join me in Luxor's amazing Raw Nightclub for our exclusive Blues and Brews Party, where you'll hang with me and be entertained by a live blues band. And the weekend package is only $348. It includes lodging for two at the Luxor Las Vegas, two passes to the Oasis Spa, two tickets to the King Tut Museum. You'll also get VIP passes to both of the parties and certainly all of the other things. Plus, everybody attending these parties is going to get a special gift from me. The package is worth about $500. In order to assure your place with me at the Luxor Las Vegas, September the 27th through the 29th, call the Luxor Las Vegas reservation line right away at 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Tell them you want the Phil Hendry package. Additional nights at standard rack rates are available for purchase before and after the event. You must be 21 years of age to book this package and participate the event at Raw. Remember, this is a VIP party, so you can't buy tickets at the door. You can't show up at the door, buy tickets, and get in. You have to get this before the fact by calling 1-800-288-1000. The only way to get in is to get one of these exclusive packages and call 1-800-288-1000 and ask for the Phil Hendry package. There are a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now. I think it's going to be a great time, September 27th through the 29th at the Luxor in Las Vegas. And again, you know what? This is so badly written. First of all, the weekend package is $348. What you do is you put that at the bottom after you've told them everything they're going to get. And we don't tell them everything they're going to get. We say, and it's only plus you'll get two tickets to the VIP party. Well, no crap. That's what we said at the top. We should say you get tickets to the King Tut Museum. You get to go to the Oasis Spa. You get to be wrapped up like a mummy and stuffed into a sarcophagus. You get all of that stuff for only $348. Who wrote this? I don't want to know. I know. Charlie LaFountain wrote it, didn't he?
Hey, Phil. Why are you thinking of copy?
So you wrote it.
Yeah, what's the matter?
It looks like some retard wrote it.
Oh, you see, I got everything they wanted me to put on it. I got the King Tut Museum, $348, Saturday the 27th, and then Friday the 29th. And then the number, and then also two tickets.
Yeah, that's about how it's written. Oh, and by the way, be sure you get there on the 29th and leave on the 27th.
Right.
What kind of sense does that make?
What?
Get there on the 29th and leave on the 27th.
I don't understand.
Think about it, bud. Just think about it for a minute.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, okay. Jeez. All right, anyway, that's the 27th through the 29th, not the 29th through the 27th.
How much is it?
$348.
Does that include the two free tickets to the party?
No, that doesn't include that, man. You got to pay extra. Yes, it includes it. So for $348, you get both the parties, passes to the Oasis Spa, King Tut Museum, the Oasis Spa, two nights lodging at the Luxor Las Vegas. All the stuff. And it's for two people.
Wait a minute. You get one night for two people?
You get two nights for two people.
Oh, all right.
Don't you think you ought to know what the hell the package is before you write the copy?
Well, that's what I told David, but he didn't care.
Oh, I see. All right. So you didn't have to know Jack. Just start writing the copy, huh?
Yeah, that's right.
1-800-449-8686. I'll read it again next hour, okay? And then it'll make sense somehow. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show.
This is the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686.
In short, Mr. Bozell, tell me why you're suing.
I'm thinking about suing my neighbor because his wife called me a pig. But he says he's going to sue me because I said his wife smelled like tuna. And it's a moral dilemma, and I wanted to call you because I tried to call these psychology shows, and they always talk about moral dilemmas.
How did this all... So you want to sue your neighbor because his wife called you a pig? He wants to sue you because you said his wife smells like tuna. How did this start? Because the initial steps here sounds a little juvenile.
Well, sir, I can assure you, I will tell you that myself and my wife, April, and two friends of ours who live next door drove to the beach today and then we went up to a favorite Italian restaurant. Well, I was wearing shorts, but we had a leather interior in the car.
Okay.
I have a convertible Mustang, which is my pride and joy. I love that car. And on a hot day, I'm sure you understand that your skin can stick to the leather.
All right, so you're in shorts, you're sitting on leather.
Yeah. As we got out of the car, my skin had stuck to the leather, and as it lifted off the leather, I guess you could say it made like a fart noise. Okay, it's a big deal, and you could just not say anything and let it go. But this guy, Hutchins, has this wife, Renee, who's a, I have said in the past that she is a ball buster, and I mean it, and I'll still say it, and I don't care what people say. And she looks at me, and she says, man, what a pig.
All right, let me, you lifted your bare leg. You were in shorts sitting on leather seats, and it sounded like a fart noise when you peeled yourself off the leather?
Yeah, that is correct.
And that's when she said, man, man, what a pig.
That is correct.
Were they joking?
Well, everybody started to laugh, and I said to her and to everybody, I said, I'm sure you can all understand that my skin stuck to the leather, and that's what made the fart noise. But they kept on laughing, even after I explained what made the noise. And they made jokes about me not eating any more garlic and all that. Well, they keep going all the way inside, and this Renee is saying things to me like, maybe you want to use the bathroom first, and she's laughing about this. And I said, but I explained to you that my skin stuck to the leather.
But don't you think, probably they understood that, didn't they?
Well, but they're laughing about it. And I told them my skin stuck to the leather, and it made a fart noise when I lifted off. And that's when I finally said to her, well, maybe you don't want to smell like tuna anymore. And that's because that she deserved it, and that was what you call a comeback, and they got angry because I got in a good one.
You got in a good one?
Yes, sir. That's what I feel anyway.
And let me reconstruct this for a minute, okay? You were sitting on leather seats in a convertible, your leg lifted off, and it made a fart noise.
Right.
And then they said, what a pig, and they started laughing and said, you ought to use the bathroom, don't eat any more garlic.
And that's when I had my comeback, which is maybe you don't want to smell like tuna anymore.
You're talking to this man's wife.
Right. And that's when they left. They grabbed a cab home. Now, here's the part that I can't take. My wife thinks I'm in the wrong because I said Renee Hutchins smelled like tuna, and I think it's a lot worse to say I smell like fart smell than for me to say she smells like albacore and spring water.
So what is this moral dilemma you're talking about?
Okay, my moral dilemma is this. Mr. Hutchins is an attorney. He specializes in sexual harassment and workplace harassment. I'm fairly confident that he is contemplating some kind of legal action against me because this guy Hutchins, first of all, he'd crawl up a snake's rear end if he thought a dollar bill was in it. That's number one. So my moral dilemma is, do I have my attorney, who is Dolores Blasingame of Riverside, go ahead and draw up a counter-complaint against Renee Hutchins for harassing me about a fart that I did not cut? Because I'll tell you, I have big shoulders. If I really did cut a fart, I'd take responsibility. But if I didn't, I won't do it. And if you look at what happened to OJ, who everybody thought was guilty, and it turned out he was innocent, that's what's happened to me. I'm not going down for something I didn't do. Why should I go down for something I didn't do?
So because you didn't really cut a fart, and they were laughing at you because they thought they heard that noise, you want to sue them?
Only a countersuit if he sues me for saying his wife smells like tuna.
Which was your big comeback?
Yes, sir.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. This man is contemplating, Mr. Steve Bozell, a lawsuit against his next-door neighbor because his wife said he was a pig and laughed at him because she thought he heard him fart, which he didn't. It was actually his skin sticking to leather as he got out of his car.
Also, Mr. Hendry, a comeback, when I said, well, maybe you just don't want to smell like no tuna, that's what you call a comeback, which is a tool that comedians use all the time to combat hecklers in the nightclubs that they are in. And Renee Hutchins was a heckler by saying I was a pig by making the sound of the gas escaping.
So you had this comeback, you smell like tuna.
Yeah.
You want to sue her because why? What is your lawsuit going to be?
Well, my attorney says that I have a very good defamation of character witness against her for saying I was a pig in front of witnesses. She also says I have a very good slander civil action because she publicly basically announced that I farted and I didn't. And slander technically is saying something that isn't true about someone. And the last thing is, as you know, Mr. Hendry, I'm a diabetic. And with the emotional upset of the evening, I did not eat. And I was about 3 minutes away from diabetic shock. So thank God my wife April had a power bar in her purse. Now, I used to do amateur stand-up comedy on amateur nights, so my comeback was a natural reaction to say to her.
When a woman says to you, or anybody says to you, Mr. Bozell, oh, what a pig, and even though you explained that you really didn't fart, and they're laughing, it seems to me they know that you really didn't, and you just made a funny noise.
All right.
When you come back and you say, well, maybe you smell like tuna.
Well, that's a natural comeback based on my stand-up comedian experience.
All right.
So that's
you're saying that's why you shouldn't be sued for saying she smells like tuna because...
Because I said that because it's a natural reaction on account of when I was a stand-up comic. That's what stand-up comics do. They come to get a quick comeback.
So you shouldn't be sued for having a comeback?
No, sir.
But she should be sued for saying you're a pig because she thought you farted?
Yes, sir.
And I don't suppose she has any comedy experience.
No, she does not. She's been a housewife.
All right, basically you're going to sue a neighbor's wife that your neighbor and your neighbor for making a joke about the fact that your skin coming off of leather sounded like a fart.
And I'll tell you something, Mr. Henry, there's an old saying, and I always lean on this. Only when you've walked in the deepest valley can you know how magnificent it is to stand on the highest mountaintop. And I've put up with humiliation.
Well, you said that she smelled like tuna.
Yeah, well, she started it. She said I smelled like a fart.
Well, she was just making a joke based on the sound.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll see how funny she thinks it is when she's served with our civil complaint.
And your moral dilemma is what?
My moral dilemma is, do I stay friends with them or not? Because we're supposed to go golfing tomorrow morning. And I have a 7 a.m. tee off.
All right, 1-800-449-8686. Should Mr. Bozell go golfing with this guy tomorrow morning, or are they still friends? Is he not legally culpable because of his stand-up comedy experience and having a quick comeback? Here is Val on the Phil Henry Show. Val?
Hi.
Hi, Val.
I can't believe that this moron is comparing himself to O.J. Simpson, who he said was found innocent.
Yes, he was.
He was found not guilty.
Okay, same
difference. By this jury, but he is guilty, and everybody knows it.
Are you God? Are you God? I don't think you're God.
Are you God?
Well, I know what the jury said. I know what the judge said.
No, you're a man that you can't take a joke. And what you said to that woman was disgusting.
Wait a minute. She called me a pig, even though I had not farted. It was a sound made by my skin on the leather.
Everybody was laughing. It was a joke.
Okay.
But when you say something personal about a woman that way,
disgusting. You don't think she was saying something personal about me?
No, it was a joke.
Oh, then Ma was saying a joke, too.
No, it wasn't.
Why can't I joke when she gets the joke, but I can't joke?
Well, I think you're pathetic.
I mean, a pig or a tuna, what's the difference?
I can't believe that you're talking about lawsuits over something this ridiculous.
Ma'am,
and I'm glad her husband's a lawyer because you should be sued for what you
said. Only when you've walked in the deepest valley can you know how magnificent it is to walk on the highest hilltop. And I was
You're a warped human being.
Oh,
you are warped.
Ma'am, I'm going to sue only because she said that I made a fart noise, which I didn't. And because I said tuna is because I'm a stand-up. I used to be a stand-up comic. That's what you call a comeback.
Well, that's not funny.
Well,
making a fart noise is funny. They sell whoopee cushions. They don't sell cans of tuna that women can put in their underpants.
I am a diabetic, and Renee Hutchins could have had blood on her hands because she called me a fart pig.
Oh, my God.
And also, how do you know they don't sell tuna to put in underpants? I don't know what the joke market is doing now.
Oh, come on, man. I never heard of it. I have, like the Val said, have heard of whoopee cushions. I've never heard of a can of tuna. It's a very personal, sickening thing, okay?
No, sir. Mr. Henry, I used to be a stand-up comic. I think I know what...
Well, you were not a very funny one, and that's probably why you were used to be one. You're not a very funny man. You're warped.
Okay, let me ask you something. Do you really know what's in Mazingale? No, you don't.
What's in what?
In Mazingale. In the hygiene spray.
Well, we know it ain't tuna in spring water.
It's not tuna fish.
Okay, do you know if it's dolphin free? See, that's a joke, okay?
Very funny at all. What do you do for a living now?
Ma'am, I own my own construction concern, but you got to admit that was funny.
Is Mazingale dolphin free? It's just a very low, juvenile thing to say.
All right, well, Mr. Henry, I can tell you right now, I've got a very good attorney, Somebody doesn't call me a pig and get away with it. Especially when she accuses me of doing something I didn't do. That's why I made the OJ reference. If I really farted, I would have stood up like a man and said, yeah, I cut a fart. But I did not. And now she, and OJ was accused of the same thing.
He wasn't accused of cutting a fart. He was accused of murdering a woman.
And they found out that he was not guilty.
The jury found him not guilty.
Right,
they didn't find him innocent.
Well,
he is guilty.
Oh, well,
and so are you.
I don't know how
you probably did fart.
No, I did not. My skin stuck to leather.
I don't believe it.
Okay, well, see, now who's being juvenile? Well, then maybe I think you smell like tuna fish.
Oh, come on. Thank you, Val, for your call.
Thank you.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686.
I was accused of cutting a fart, and OJ was accused of cutting off a head. Okay? And what I'm trying to do is work my stand-up comedy experience into having a...
Do me a favor, will you?
Yes, sir.
Just don't try to do laughs. Don't try to do laughs.
No, but I'm saying it's important to this case because of my stand-up comedy experience.
Then you gave a comeback to the woman.
That's correct.
All right, so that was part of your professional training as a comedian. She said you smell like a pig, and you said, well, you smell like tuna, and that's part of your professional training.
Right, and that's why I said, if I cut a fart, OJ cut off a head.
Yeah, but you know what? Let's just keep the shtick to a minimum, okay? Mr. Stephen Bozell, he's a construction contractor who has his attorney contemplating a counter... I don't know, there's a lawsuit going between these people, their neighbors. His leg stuck to a leather seat as he was getting out of the car. It made a fart noise, and the wife of his friend said he sounded like a pig, and she kept laughing about it. So he said she smelled like tuna, and the family left, and they're threatening a lawsuit, and he's threatening to countersue, saying that it was harassment and that she slandered him. He didn't really cut a fart. And that technically is slander, and he's hired his attorney, etc. He says his moral dilemma is this. Should he still remain friends with them because they have a tee-off time tomorrow at 7? Now, our number is 1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686 if you want to weigh in on this moral dilemma that this gentleman, Mr. Bozell, is having. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
What we have here is Mr. Stephen Bozell, a construction contractor from Corona, California, Mr. Roy Hutchins, a lawyer. These two couples, the husbands and wives, went out. Mr. Bozell got out of a car wearing shorts. The skin on the leather made a farting sound. Mr. Hutchins' wife said, boy, you sound like a pig. She laughed at him. Mr. Bozell felt so humiliated that he told her she smelled like tuna, which you call a comeback based upon your stand-up comedy experience.
That is correct.
So what she said to you was mean, but what you said to her...
That was simply based upon my comedy experience because you use comedy to diffuse the situation.
All right. Well, in any event, you are contemplating suing her for slander because you didn't really fart, and by her saying that...
That is technically slander. That is, according to my attorney, Dolores Blazegame, he says that a slander can be a statement publicly uttered that is untrue.
And also other things here. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Let me go here to Sheila. Hi, Sheila. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, hon.
Yes, hi.
I just have a comment. First of all, you can't. There's no way you can call yourself a professional comedian, past or present. What you're doing is just stupid.
Are you in the entertainment business?
What I'm getting at is you're cramming for the courts full of stupid causes that's just costing the taxpayers money, and it's ignorant.
Well, ma'am, what do you mean I'm not a professional comedian? I made a comeback to her.
That wasn't professional.
About smelling like tuna?
It was stupid and cruel.
Well, okay, first of all, she said I farted, and that's not true. That's technically slander.
You know what?
Secondly, when I said you smell like tuna, I've often used that line in my nightclub act. If somebody says, get off the stage, you stink, and I'll go, well, you smell like tuna. That's a common stand-up comedy line.
A common stand-up comedy line.
Not at any comedy shows I've been to. There's nothing common about that.
Well,
you know...
Like one guy...
All you have done... Can I speak, please?
Yes, ma'am. Go right ahead.
all you have done is showed the stupidity that you are.
Ma'am, I'm not the one who said you smell like a pig. My skin stuck to the leather and it sounded like a fart noise.
Well, okay, you know, so all you had to do was probably explain to this woman. She probably would have been very gracious and, you know, apologized.
I did. I said, no, you don't understand. That was my skin stuck to the leather. And she goes, yeah, sure. Why don't you use the bathroom before we go into dinner and all that? And then I said, no, you don't understand. It was my skin stuck to the leather. And then she goes, yeah, right. And I go, well, then you smell like albacore and spring water.
Well, you know what? It's still stupid. Grown people carrying ignorant remarks this far and cramming our judicial system with court cases that are stupid.
Well, ma'am, O.J. Simpson, everybody thought was guilty.
Oh, you know what? You are so stupid. That statement is so stupid. You and O.J.
Everybody thought he was guilty and come to find out that he was not guilty. See, same thing with me. I did not cut a fart. Come to find out I didn't cut a fart, but she thought I did.
You must have an ego the size of New York City.
Why do you say that? I'm simply trying...
Comparing what has happened with you to what happened with O.J., that's just ignorant.
Can I ask you a question? Because I've got a sense that I'm talking to someone famous. Could you say, hi, I'm Martha Ray by Paula Dent? Because...
What?
Is this Martha Ray?
You are really an idiot, aren't you? I'm just a good old country girl from Arkansas.
I swear to God, you sound like... Could you just say, hi, I'm Martha Ray?
No, I won't, because I'm not...
I used to be a stand-up comic. And
yeah, okay, we got about how you were a stand-up comic in the
I'm
big comeback.
I'm sick of it.
Well, only if you walked in the deepest valley. Can
you are so
right,
full
now,
of it.
See, now you're laughing at me. I said...
No, I'm laughing at the idea that you could be so ignorant.
Ma'am, tell me that this isn't funny. I said to her, I should have brought my fishing pole. I could have caught dinner in your pants. And it,
if I were her husband, I would have clocked you.
Exactly. That's my point. You're lucky they're suing you and not beating the whole tar out of you.
They're not doing what, ma'am?
If I had been her husband,
yes,
I would have decked your ass.
Why?
Because you're rude, prude, and obnoxious.
Ma'am.
All right, what was that?
Nothing, sir. Ma'am.
Yes.
All I'm saying is this. There was a little trial that happened not too long ago. I'm sure you remember about it. The Manson family trial, okay? Everybody thought Manson was innocent. Come to find out, he did it.
Now okay? You're comparing yourself to Manson?
No.
You know what?
What a moron.
Okay. I'm thrilled. He is such an idiot.
I'm going to ask you to watch your comments, sir, because you could be sued.
What are you going to sue me for?
Oh, let me
speaking
tell you
truth?
Something. If you get up and speak in court, he will have his point proven. You are a moron.
I have never even got my closing line out about how nice she'd look in a casserole. And
you're
that's
disgusting.
What
you are just disgusting.
But I used to do stand-up comedy.
Oh,
you know,
I
would advise you. I would advise you not to tear you a new asshole.
1-800-449-8686. 1-800-449-8686. Steve is suing because somebody said he farted.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
How sweet it is to be on the highest mountaintop.
All right, I know. All right, former stand-up comic and current construction contractor Steve Bozell is with us. He's suing his next-door neighbor's wife because she called him a pig when she thought he farted. In point of fact, it was his skin coming off of the leather, and she wouldn't let up with the joke, so you said that she smelled like tuna, and now they're threatening a countersuit. And
no, I'm the one threatening the countersuit.
All right, you're the one threatening the countersuit. I'm sorry. 1-800-449-8686. Jennifer, hi. Go ahead.
Oh, my gosh. Steve?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you keep saying that you're a stand-up comic.
I was a former stand-up comic. I worked.
You're a former stand-up comic.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So somebody who's a former stand-up comic should be able to know how to take a joke, don't you think?
That is an interesting point, but I think I draw the line at being called a pig. Okay?
Well, my gosh!
I draw the line at being called a pig.
No, there are so many stand-up comics.
Let me ask you a question.
World.
What's so funny about being called a pig? I'd like to know.
There's nothing funny about that,
okay.
But there's nothing else funny about being called a tuna or saying something about tuna. And what are you teaching your children?
Ma'am, I teach my children to say their prayers at night and to do all the
lessons
in school.
Well, that's wonderful.
Okay.
I'm really happy that you tell them to say their prayers at night, and that's wonderful.
Well,
but if you're going to be suing somebody for calling you a pig and because you made a farting noise, don't most fathers, use their underarm and their hand and make a farting noise to their kid and we all laugh about it and that's funny?
I don't know what you're talking about.
No,
I don't.
Yeah, you don't know.
No, I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
you put
your hand
in your armpit and you make a fart noise.
Yeah.
Okay, that's fine. But for this ball buster who's married to this guy, and believe me, she's a ball buster. I've known this woman for five. She is. And she's always trying to humiliate
me. He must have done something else to you.
You know, you sound like one of these women, and I can tell the sound of your voice. You think this whole thing's funny.
Oh, it's hilarious. I think it's, yes, I do. I think you're an absolute idiot.
Yeah, and I can hear you laughing, Mr. Henry, too.
Oh, come on, pal.
I think we all are, sir. I think, Steve, that the entire world, whoever is listening to this show, is laughing at you, that you're comparing yourself to the Manson family now. I mean, come on, who are you? Who are you? You're just a little guy, Steve. You're just little Steve.
Jennifer? Who are you? Oh, so, okay, I can say
I'm a person with an opinion. That's all I am.
So
I'm just a person with an opinion listening to a talk show that isn't a good talk show but has an absolute idiot on it.
So I could say to you, hey, why don't I just get a fishing pole and catch dinner in your pants? You think that's funny?
Yeah, my husband will knock you over. You say that to me and my husband will knock you over.
I just did.
You know what?
I'll
knock you over.
Well, wait a minute.
I just did, but you can't hit me because I'm not even in the same state as you.
Well, you know what? That's that's fine.
But the bottom line is, if you're a former stand-up comic, you didn't say anything funny to her. Just said something really super...
Look it. I worked as Super Steve McFunny. That was my stage name.
Super Steve McFunny. Oh, my gosh. No wonder you didn't get any jokes. Okay, I'm sorry.
All right, Mr. Henry. I'd like to make a statement, okay?
Whatever.
All of you, this is a joke, okay? Tell me that this isn't funny.
Yeah, why don't you do some of your act? Give me. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, Jesus walked into a bar with three nails in his hand, and he gives them to the innkeeper and says, can you put me up for the night?
Yeah.
Okay, you know it. Both of you can go to hell.
Well.
Oh, he hung up. No, he hung up.
Oh, too bad.
I mean, here's a guy who is... You made the best point of all, Jennifer, when you said if you're a former stand-up comic, don't you know how to take a joke as well as give a joke?
Yeah.
Now, look at this. What? You're calling back, sir?
Yes, sir.
I don't like anybody telling me to go to hell and then calling my show back.
Okay, can I do one more joke?
And if I don't laugh, are you going to tell me to go to hell again?
No, I won't.
What?
What's the best form of birth control?
I don't know. What?
Being naked.
Well, maybe for you.
Okay, forget it.
No, he hangs up on us again.
He hung up again.
Oh, what an idiot. Oh, my gosh.
Well, Jennifer, I appreciate it because, again, you made a very good point. And the point being, this is a guy who's been advertising through the whole hour that he's been on the show. What do you want now? You've called back for the third time.
You can both go to the land of the devil.
Go away.
Yeah, he hung up. All right, Jennifer, thanks for your call.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
Have a good night.
Yeah, you too. Go to the land of the devil. I don't get that joke. What's the best form of birth control? Being naked. Did you get that? What's that mean? It's not that maybe he's disgusting looking? The person you're looking at? Oh, anyway. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
I don't want to.
Would you please let me do one more joke?
You've been on my show with your idiotic lawsuit. You claim you're a former stand-up comic. I don't want to.
Please let me do just one joke.
Okay, do your joke.
Okay. And this is from my stand-up, when I was a stand-up comedian.
Okay, go ahead.
A boy and his sister walk up to a well, and she falls in. Okay, and a man comes over and says, why don't you do something about it? And he says, how can I be a brother and a sister? See? So you're not laughing on purpose.
I don't even get it.
Mr. Henry, you can go straight to the netherworld.
Okay, so that's the fourth time he's told me to go to hell, only this time it was the netherworld. He tells a joke that I don't get, and then he blows a fart off into the phone before he hangs up. All of that put together means homicide if I meet this guy. A homicide charge. You better not let me meet the guy. It'll save me from a homicide charge. What does that mean? Oh, assist her. Oh, okay. What?
I didn't fart. It was the seat.
1-800-449-8686. On yesterday's show, Chris Norton, who is an aspiring adult film producer, wanted to produce an adult film at Ground Zero called 9 or 11, Take Your Pick, Let the Healing Begin, a disgusting idea that he says would help promote the healing of the wounds of 9-11, a porno movie at Ground Zero. Here's that crap.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy goals.
I think it's just very disgusting he's going to do this. Just because so many people lost their lives there.
I know that.
Yeah, but you're mimicking what's going on, especially when you guys are as firefighters. My husband was a volunteer for years as a fire department, and I think that's so disrespectful.
No, we're
when you're
trying to
watch two women make love as a firefighter, when somebody went back in that building to rescue people, and you're mimicking them.
We honor the heroes. What we're trying to say is we need love.
This is something. Wouldn't you rather do something where children can watch too about 9/11, not something pornographic?
If we do what? I'm sorry.
You're going to do something for this adult industry for 9/11. How about something that's more children oriented? Too, so families can watch this instead of it being more epic.
That's a good point.
Because
and we do want to have
this as a history someday.
We do want to do something for kids and Rick Stretch.
Oh,
and
kids can't watch that. I never want my kids watch something like
that. We're not going to do anything pornographic for kids, but Rick Stretch and Ray Bone are going to be co-producing a children's.
Rick Stretch and Ray Bone are going to be co-producing something for kids?
Yes, sir.
With those names?
That's it.
Well, what is sick? I don't understand.
Rick Stretch and Ray Bone.
Yeah, but the kids don't know what that means.
Oh, come on.
Yeah, but what if the kids are curious? Kids find out anything, and that's disgusting.
I want to ask you something. You've got another actor in this film. You've got about 10 male actors and maybe two females. Bobby Buckslurper. Who's that?
He's one of the top stars in adult films. I mean, I don't know what the lady's laughing about. I'm trying to take this seriously.
Seriously? Would you do a porno on 9/11 take that seriously? That's sick. I'm sorry.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
It is sick. It's twisted and it's comedy gold. 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show. Now, on the weekend of the 27th through the 29th, as you know, the Phil Hendry Live at Las Vegas, at the Luxor Las Vegas party will be taking place, our first ever live listener meeting. It's in Vegas. It's the 27th through the 29th of September. It is going to be a live broadcast, along with a blues and brews party, along with a Hendry happy hour, along with VIP passes to all of that stuff that you'll get. You'll also, of course, have lodging for two at the Luxor Las Vegas for Friday and Saturday night, the 27th and, what is that, the 28th? You'll also have two passes to the Oasis Spa. You'll get two tickets to the King Tut Museum, all the hors d'oeuvres there at both of the parties. And it's all for just $348. You'll be able to see our show live broadcast to on Friday night, the 27th. And watching our show live is like nothing else you've ever seen. Believe me. So you're going to want to get the tickets reserved for this, the 27th to the 29th, the first ever Phil Hendry Show live at the Luxor Las Vegas party. Call this number, 1-800-288-1000, 1-800-288-1000, and ask for the Phil Hendry package. Additional nights at standard rack rates are available for purchase before or after the event. You got to be 21 years of age to book this package and prepare. Blah, 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 blah. Remember, this is a VIP party, so you can't buy the tickets at the door. The only way to get in is one of these exclusive packages. And you got to call 1-800-288-1000, ask for the Phil Hendry package. There are a limited number of packages, so make your reservations now. It ought to be fantastic. It ought to be a night to remember. And our staff is going to be there. Pelton, you're coming. So are you, Taylor, right? Janice is going to pull in. So, you'll be digging it. It'll be 1-800-288-1000. That's the number. There's a limited number of packages. Make your reservations now. The 27th to the 29th. At the Luxor in Las Vegas. It's Phil Hendry Show here, 1-800-449-8686. Did you hear this story about, do you know West Nile virus? You been hearing about this? Okay, this is a mosquito-borne virus that can be very dangerous. Now, I looked it up. It's not killing everybody. Some people get it worse than others. But here's the thing that I thought was interesting. The Pentagon is sending a special team to Fort Bragg this weekend to look for a possible link in the deaths of four Army wives. The women were all allegedly killed by their husbands, some of whom took an anti-malaria drug that can have side effects. So the Pentagon wants to know if homicide is a side effect of a certain drug. And if it is, they're going to have to put that on the bottle. Well, you get that from the department, from the pharmacy. I see where I'm going with this. Isn't that funny?
And the side effects are nausea, sweating,
murder,
and...
See where I'm going with this? See? Now, that's comedy.
Yes, sir. Are you Mr. Henry?
Yes, I am.
You're going to have diarrhea, nausea, vomiting, sweating, probably some seizures.
Homicide? Other than that, you'll be fine. You know what? Half of the side effects in these drugs, man, you don't want to take them. Just like 4 days on the toilet. Three of the four Fort Bragg soldiers were special operations servicemen who had recently returned home after tours of duty, and an Army medical team is now investigating. Hey, what is it? West Nile virus? Maybe it is the end of the world. Can't we have a couple of months without some apocalyptic problem happening? All this does is feed into those nuts. All this does is feed those nuts. Ah, let's see that right there. It's the end of the world. Yeah, I know. It was the end of the world when Hitler was around. It was the end of the world when we couldn't get rid of smallpox. It was the end of the world when we couldn't get rid of the Black Death. That was the end of the world. It was the end of the world when the Roman Empire fell. Yeah, I know. No, this is the real one this time. Why is that? Because we got West Nile virus? That's a biblical plague. We had anthrax, West Nile virus. We just got AIDS under control. The great thing about civilization is we just stay one step ahead of all this stuff. You remember when AIDS was... And I'm not saying that it is absolutely not a deadly disease. Obviously it is, but I remember there was a time of sheer panic when people thought that you could lick a stamp and get it. You could get it from a toilet seat. I mean, there was all kinds of insanity. And there was also, the follow-up to that was, and we have the AIDS cure. And they'd have, like, you know, tinfoil suits you could buy. Really, anybody to make a dollar. Hey, well, guess what? They've come up with a variety of treatments and therapies. They can control these side effects, or, excuse me, the symptoms, and they can control whether you are symptomatic or not. So things are gradually getting better, right? Then we got anthrax last October. Now we got the West Nile virus. Those Arabs, man, they're going to get us any way they can. Does it come from the Nile? Got a great idea. It's mosquito-borne, man. Just spray for mosquitoes. Just... I mean, all that stuff you put on your skin. And, you know, the beauty of it, of course, is this. When Marie and I were in Hawaii, I'm walking up a trail, and she stops to talk to somebody. As I'm going under a bush, Maria stops in front of me to talk to someone. So now I'm stopped cold in a fog of mosquitoes. I'm sitting under this, you know, they're just buzzing. I said, move, will you, man, move. And, oh, hi, are you in cabin three? A citronella candle, those things work. It's like the first time I saw my old man knock down a hornet's nest. I was 5 years old, and I was standing across the street from our house. I couldn't have been more than five, and I'm standing there sucking my thumb, and I probably had, you know, crapped in my pants. Whatever you do when you're five, and I'm standing, I'm looking across the street, and I see my dad with a broomstick, and it was, to this day, I swear to God, it was like right out of a cartoon. He knocked the hornet's nest down, then I see my old man running down the walkway with a whole thing of hornets chasing him. Just like in a cartoon. I saw this from across the street. My father running down this. All right, so that's West Nile fever. A real drag. A real drag. President Bush, in other news, is meeting the Saudi prince in Texas. I don't know what we got to be nice to these people for, but I guess he's the president. He figures it's important. He's meeting the Saudi prince because he wants to make sure everything's cool while they're funneling money over there to, you know, and they're killing, and who cares, right? I know. That whole 9/11 thing is so over, right? Like that story we read yesterday. Can we just move on with our lives? Can we just get over 9/11 and just, no, we're not going to get over 9/11. We're going to remember it for the rest of our lives. What do you think about that, Sadie? Didn't you see a thing today, Janice, in the paper that it's the most significant date in 100 years, in 100 years? it is more significant than, it's more significant than Diana dying, Pearl Harbor, West Nile virus. Is it in here? 9/11, the most memorable date in 100 years. Forget two world wars. Forget two world wars. The terrorist attacks in America make the 11th of September the most memorable date in 100 years. And the death of Princess Diana is a far more significant event than the Queen's coronation or the start of the Falklands War. According to the History Channel, which asked 1,000 people to name their most memorable event in world and British history, these findings show the power, television, and the modern British history? What's British history got to do with us? Hey, Chris, don't go on the BBC website anymore, pal. This is British history here. Hey, man, no more BBC stories. Just get them off of the old regular American. Hey, Phil, I thought you'd be interested in this. Oh, yeah, look at this. A village in western France, man, has ergot poisoning. That's wow. And look at this, Phil. Oh, okay, look at that. McDonald's in Germany is now outdistancing Wimpy Burgers. Hey, America, guess what the number one burger in Lithuania is? Well, this hour, we'll take a look at the top five burgers and tacos in Latvia on
The Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, this hour is a relevant aspect to our program, The Phil Hendry Show, broadcasting to between 80 and 90 affiliates, depending upon who you talk to. On any given day, this hour on our show, we'll be rapping about all of those sewer systems they're putting in Outer Mongolia. What do you think? Are you going to vote for that or no? What's the thumbs up or thumbs down of the big bond issue to try to get more night soil pots in Nanjing? What in the hell are you doing to me? Of course, says he's trying to be diverse and the BBC is cool. I'm reading a story here, number one in England. England? I was really excited about that story, too. All right, 1-800-449-8686. What do you think about more night soil pots in Nanjing? 1-800-449-8686, whatever the hell it is. Phil Hendry Show.
Henry, 1-800-449-8686.
By now you may have heard Opie and Anthony are, fired in New York. They had a radio show in New York on WNEW-FM. Now, you may ask yourself, and they were on about 17 radio stations nationally. Now, you may ask yourself, why does this story get such play? Why is it getting such major play? These cats were on in New York and about 17 stations. Is it the nature of the stunt? And what happened was two people were having sex in St. Patrick's Cathedral under the aegis of their radio show. It was a contest, the most unusual place to have sex. And you may ask yourself, well, why is this getting so much play? And I think it's probably because the media is so in love with the Catholic Church that they want to get that molesting priest thing off the front page and get Opie and Anthony on the front page. So get all those pedophile priests off the front page. Stick these guys on the front page. They're the new Antichrist. Boy, that was a beautiful thing. With the help of the national media, the Catholic Church has finally gotten the pedophile priests off the front page, and a couple of schlub shock jocks are on the front page. Good job, Fox News, CNN, NBC, ABC, CBS, all of you. Great job helping out the Catholic Church in one of its worst crises ever with all of those freaking freak priests they got. Freak, weird priests. God, can you imagine that? Well, forget it. We can't talk about it anymore because we're talking about Opie and Anthony now. Priests having sex with children. And that's all of a sudden off the front page and on the front page, a couple of poor dumbasses in New York who got their thumbs up their rear ends. I mean, they're just doing some shtick. That's cool. They didn't know why they're doing it. They're just doing it because it's cool. And they're on the front page, they're on the tips of the tongues of everybody. Because a couple of dumbasses from Virginia that listened to a show, they were doing it in the vestibule of the church. And just like that, the pedophile priests, they're gone. Nobody's talking about that anymore. Because who cares about that? Who cares about a priest that molests
a child. Who cares about that when you got Dopey and Anthony to talk about? It's incredible. It's amazing. And they've done it, the Catholic Church has done it, in conjunction with Fox News, CNN, CBS, ABC, A&P, ABB, BBY, BBB, BBC, CBC. Wow! And these guys are out of a gig, they're out of a network, they're out of a paycheck, they're out of a contract, they are out of the business. They're out of the business, just like that. Some of these priests, they could be running around molesting kids for 30 years. They just get moved from parish to parish to parish. I bet you the church paid off Opie and Anthony to do that so they could get all them molesting priests off the front page and stick Opie and Anthony. Maybe Opie and Anthony are sitting on a beach in Jamaica right now going, boy, that was the greatest. That's the best $20 million we ever made. Thanks a lot, John Paul. And, you know, the phone conversation is like a thing out of Lenny Bruce, right? How are you boys doing? Good, man. Great. No problem.
All right. Just about if you need anything.
All right, your eminence, your holiness. Thank you.
No problem. Just call the Vatican. Use my back line.
You got it.
You guys understand, you know, this is the big payoff to $20 million. You guys lay on the beach for a while. We'll beat you back on the air, man. You know, something to put you out with a grease man someplace.
Okay, no problem.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Mr. Pope. And that's how that's done. That's how that's done. You see, no other radio show can actually has the intuitive ability, the intelligence, the ability to just sift through bullcrap the way this show does. Look at how they do it. The Catholics get together with CNN, Fox, all those other jackballs who have the moral fiber of a piece of wet toilet paper that's been slightly wiped over the rear end of a bum. Everybody who claims they got all this integrity, they get together with the Catholic Church. They play up the fact that a couple of dumbass radio guys in New York did, a rather funny bit, if you ask me. Play that up. Get all them pedophile priests off the front page. Get them off page two, page three. Man, these guys, they ain't even in the paper anymore. And the next thing you know, everybody's feeling sorry for the Catholics. It's a genius move. It's genius. You know what? I read this actually today. I said, this business, man, can turn on a dime. You can be the hottest thing today, and the next day, you're walking around looking for cigarette butts, pal. You're eating out of a garbage can. You don't know. I mean, this is amazing. This is one of, and I've been in this business 30 years. I have never, ever in my career seen a radio career turn on a dime the way these cats went up in smoke. And it got me to thinking, we get away with so much stuff on the show that it's almost criminal. I mean, we get away with stuff on this program that, nobody else could get away with because we do character voices, because we put it into a theatrical presentation, and somehow it's more palatable, right? So I was thinking maybe in the next few minutes here on the show, we could have you call in at 1-800-449-8686 and tell us the time you thought for sure we were fired, or tell us the time you thought we should have been fired with a piece of material that we did, a piece of shtick that we did. Now, you may, frankly, have to think a while. I can think of one. And that was the time back around October, November, when we had Margaret Gray come on and say she had smallpox, and then she said, no, I'm only kidding. I thought that we might very well have stepped over the line then because the country was in such a state of panic over that situation. And I remember driving home that night and getting out of the car and thinking, oh my God, I think I'm definitely going to be dragged on the carpet for this tomorrow. Not a peep. Not a peep. So I just kept my head down, came into the office and started working on the next day's show, right? And the reason why is because the characters, the fact that we masquerade our point of view using funny voices and funny situations, people forgive us a lot of stuff. People let us get away with a lot of stuff. People allow us to present points of view that probably other guys wouldn't be able to do. I don't know. So in the next few minutes here at 1-800-449-8686, perhaps you can give us an idea if you heard a bit on this show where you thought, okay, Phil is gone. He's gone. He's fired. Or a bit that you heard where you thought, you know what, I like you, Phil, but I think you ought to be out. You ought to be out on your ass with that stuff. All right, 1-800-449-8686. We'll go to Anthony. Hi, Anthony. Anthony.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's up? Is this Phil?
Yeah.
You're talking here. This is all crazy. I called you a while back and told you to quit smoking. You remember me?
No.
I just told you not to quit. I told you to greatly cut down. Regardless, it doesn't matter.
I don't remember.
It doesn't matter. Hey, the time I thought you were fired was the Catholic priest voice you do with that goofy accent. The
Father McQuarters.
For a quick little tickle. That guy. When I heard that you could make a lucrative amount of money by allowing yourself to be molested by priests and accepting the payoff, that was the time that I thought, my God, if they were ever going to shut it down, it might just be now.
Really? Because if you think about it, the church was paying people off to keep their mouths shut.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. That's just it. It's the fact that you were so real about it and you were putting it in people's faces. I was surprised that somebody didn't call and
try to get me fired. All right. Yeah, cool.
And I do want to tell you, man, you add greatly to the quality of my life.
Thank you.
Keep doing what you're doing. It's people like you that take your mind off the whole reality.
You know, you need to know also that I'm giving up smoking on my birthday, so.
Are you?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Did you pick a band?
Yeah, we today are going to go through it, and on Monday we'll announce the band.
Well, hey, happy birthday to you, and
thank
best you to you and yours, Phil.
Thanks, pal. Thanks.
Take care.
Father McQuarters, yeah, when he said that they would literally pay people if they would allow them to, be molested. Now, I ask you this. When the Catholic Church gives money to victims of molestation, but they do not demand legal treatment. They do not demand arrest or otherwise. They don't demand any punishment for the priests that have done it. Isn't it the same thing as saying, thank you for letting us molest you. Here's 30 grand for your trouble. Isn't it the same? I think it's the same thing. Hi, everybody. I'm Father So-and-so, and thank you for letting me molest you. Here's your $1 million. And I'm still in school, and I'm still, I'm still the principal of the school. 1-800-449-8686. Here's, I believe, Aaron. Hi, Aaron. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
The time I thought you were definitely fired, not only a few days ago, but a while back, you were, you were like ranting about racism in this country, and you came across something like, why can't we get back to the good old days when black people had to sit in the back of the bus?
Right.
And you said that was, totally serious, and I couldn't stop laughing.
Well, then you knew that I was joking.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
All these religious idiots out there.
But, you can say things like that, and some people will actually get down on you,
Yeah.
I did a bit once where I thought I was probably fired, and this was back about 4 years ago, and I had a character that I do, Pastor William Rennick, and he was, we blasted him off into orbit around the Earth, and we called the bit, and I can't use the word, N-word in space. And we had a lot of heat on that, including the heat of a very, very fine man that I worked for at KFI in Los Angeles, a guy named Howard Neal, who was our general manager. And Howard is an African-American. Mm-hmm. And he called, and he rightfully said, I don't ever want to hear that bit on my radio station again. And we said, yes, sir. And we yanked it, and that was the end of that. But somewhere, I think, in our archives, we have N-word in space. But it was pretty rough.
I'll look for that.
All right, man. Thanks.
No problem.
Bye-bye. Were you with us when we did that? I was like, it's really sick. Twisted thing. Yeah, we blast Pastor William Rennick off into orbit around the Earth. All right, 1-800-449-8686. In the wake of all the stuff that went on in New York with these two guys getting fired, we're sort of asking, did you ever think that I'd finally had it? Had I breathed my last? What bit was it that you thought would finally sort of pop our cork around here? 1-800-449-8686. And we also are going to play some more bands today on our contest to see who's going to play on Phil Hendry's birthday party. And don't forget that number to see us in Las Vegas, to come visit us in Las Vegas. It's 1-800-2... What is the number? I forgot the thing. Yeah, I know, but it ain't up there. 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Hendry package. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686.
You know, this whole thing that happened to Opie and Anthony in New York, and it really only matters to those of us in radio, but it still bears mentioning that this is really about
What this is really about, the way it's being publicized, is the fact that television and the print business, they all hate radio. Especially the print business, because radio talk show hosts have taken over what taken over the job that columnists used to have. And television can't stand radio because the fact is that most people in radio are more talented than TV people. We don't have to sit there. I mean, can you imagine having a job where you're going to sit there and go, "Hi, my name is Bob," and you're reading it on a screen, and in tonight's news... By the way, in Portland today, the violent demonstrations against President Bush caught White House planners by surprise. It's not unusual for presidents to be confronted by small protests, but demonstrations that result in the kinds of skirmishes with police that erupted here Thursday night have been rare. And more than 1,000 people turn out to scream anti-Bush slogans, tag buildings with graffiti, and challenge police at barricades around the hotel where the president held a fundraiser. Among the issues, they said they were upset with Bush's plan to relax environmental standards for logging, a possible war with Iraq, the U.S. stand on the Palestinian question, and what they call rampant government corruption. Maybe the next plane that flies into a building will be in downtown Portland. What do you think? I wonder what they're going to say then. If another one goes into a building with some, Al-Qaeda, Jihad, free to Palestinian people, whatever the bullcrap of the moment is, maybe it'll just go sailing right into a building in Portland. But I guess if that happens, it'll be our fault too, right? Right. The problem is when you're living in a place where there's nothing but rain and fog most of the time, and you know you don't get out of your garage much, and all you're doing is sitting in the garage or the basement, and you think you're going to be the next Soul Asylum, and maybe you're blasting up. You know, you want to get out. You want to get out and bust some heads every now and again. I can dig it. 1-800-449-8686. Let's move on to our question of the hour. When did you think we were going to get fired? Here's Rob. Hello, Rob.
Yeah, hey, Phil. How you doing, man?
Good, man.
Hey, you know, I think it was about 2 months ago you came on and you were doing this thing where you were saying that you were wasted, that you just started, I think you started drinking, you did heroin.
Yes.
And then David Hall came on.
Uh-huh.
I thought, you know, for a while there, you had me going, and I'm in on it, but you had me going, man. And
I said I was on heroin? Oh, I remember that, yeah. And then David Hall came on and said that, no, I really wasn't.
Yeah, because, you know, and it was the heroin that got to me. Because, you know, if you'd just been drunk, so what? But
yeah.
The heroin thing, that's going a little too far. Cause,
you know, I know
some guys that have done that, and it's not good.
You can pretty some guys that have been on the air on heroin?
No.
Oh. I think that you can pretty much say anything if you just say, I'm only kidding, you know. I think it was Steve Martin that pointed that out first off. Hey, Phil, yeah, Bob Hope's dead, I'm only kidding. Hey, Phil, yeah, your wife's dead, I'm only kidding.
Hey, well, I thought you were going to get it for that one.
I'm only kidding. Well, we're here. Thank you for your call.
Thanks, man.
Bye. Moving on here to Jeff. Hi, Jeff. You're on the Phil Henry Show.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
Hey, the one I saw was when, or listened to, is when you did some guys smoking some marijuana talking about cloning Jesus from the Shroud of Turin.
Yeah. Why did you think I'd get canned for that?
Oh, because, you know, the... all the religious fanatics go crazy over stuff like that. And a lot of people called in.
Well, I mean, it's a goofy premise, cloning Jesus from the Shroud of Turin. It's goofy.
Oh, it was goofy, but yeah. the guys that were talking about it were, like, pretending to be so high. It was one of your characters.
Oh, they were doing bong hits?
Oh, they were doing bong hits and smoking hash, and the guy was going, and I got first dibs on him. I mean, if he comes back, I got control over him.
Yeah, he had the copyright on the clone Jesus.
That's right.
And that he's going to put him out on the talk show circuit, right.
You did another one where, you remember the guy was sniffing the towels that he took off the beach?
No.
You don't remember that one?
No, I don't.
And the guy had a closet full. And you asked him, how many do you have? He said, well, like 5,000.
Sniffing towels off the beach?
Yeah, he would take them. He got into the whole thing was he was suing somebody because he got into a fight with someone's boyfriend. Because he would, you know how you roll into the thing a little bit at a time. But at the end, he was like actually giving girls like $20, $50. Get off the towel, and he would take it, and he would sniff it, and he'd put it in, like, a plastic bag and have it in his closet.
That's awesome.
This was years ago.
Yeah.
This was years ago.
That's twisted. That's great.
Let me tell you, your show is awesome.
Well, thanks for that. I got to remember that one. We've got to look that one up.
I'm a truck driver, man. I listen to you on XM. It's great.
Great. Thanks for calling.
All right, man.
Bye-bye. That must have been, I don't know who. Jeff Dowder or somebody, or Chris Norton. He's paying these women $20 to get off the towel. And he sticks them in a plastic bag. All right, 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show. Rachel, hi.
Hi,
hi,
how
Rachel.
Are you?
Hi, good.
Good, good. Okay, I've got one. I don't know that I thought that you were going to get banned for it, but I, myself, who love you, was totally offended.
Okay, okay.
It was the one with, I think it was Dr. Green, and it was the Mongo Chow one, where Mongoloid children don't need to eat regular food because they don't know the difference anyways.
Mm-hmm.
And so he came up with this kind of like monkey chow, well, but it was Mongo Chow.
Mongo Chow. In a large bag?
In a large bag, and I don't know. The thing that I remember the most is that I was upset with myself because I was laughing, so I was going to go and turn it off. And I had my hand on the dial, but I just couldn't turn it off because it just kept getting worse and worse.
That was bad.
I think I was just more upset with myself. But then at the end, a guy who was obviously mentally retarded called in.
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
And the mother said, I want you to talk to my son.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then, you know, they kept thinking you were just the nicest guy because you kept sympathizing with them. And here Dr. Green kept telling the kid that he didn't know the difference that he had for breakfast or lunch or dinner. But, yeah, that one was one that I really thought.
And would you be interested in Mongo Chow?
Yes, he was trying to sell it to the kid.
Yeah, yeah. You know, there's some things, if I could take them back, that might be one of them. Thank you, Rachel. Thanks a lot.
All right, thank you.
Thanks for calling. On second thought, no, that was too good. All right, 1-800-449-8686. This is the Phil Hendry Show. Coming up, we've got our bands. We've got 10 more bands to audition for our birthday party coming up on the 31st.
The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, so as you know, I was looking for a band to play a birthday party at my house on the 31st. We're getting a lot of RSVPs from my friends, by the way, so it looks like we may have a crowd after all. I had this nightmare the other night that I was, you know, I had like, I had a caterer, and I had a band, and I had all this food, and I had all this booze, and I had all this, and like 10 people are walking around. Hi, it's great. Is there anything more pathetic than that? I don't think so. This is not, by the way, a party that the listeners are invited to. But when we go to Vegas, you know, on the 27th to the 29th of September, we can do a post-birthday party. But anyway, we're auditioning these bands. We've been doing it all week. We've got another 9. We're going to get through them here. The first band is a band called Lucky Mamas, and the song is Dem Changes. Band. I like that. It's just a funky bar, creepy garage thing. Cool. I'd dance to this. See, I ain't looking for Studio Slick. I'm just looking for, a band that sucks. No, I'm kidding. All right, so that was Lucky Mamas. Now, here's a band called Musidora, and the song is Let It Fly.
I'm Joanne.
There's a
what? Are they in key? Oh, I get it. It's like Korn. I'm sorry. I didn't mean that, Korn fans. Get out of here. That's got to be a gag. All right, here's another band called Violet Vertigo, and the song is called Freud.
I'm on the way myself.
This is, by the way, Chris Pelton's band.
Looking at me and myself.
Nice job, Chris. It's just...
And if I should fall, and if I could crawl,
that is fantastic.
And if you could know, I won't change. I won't change.
One word. Acid. Good job. Good job. Now here's a band called the Glenn Sias Experience with Bacon.
Heart hurt, feelings, feel it in my toes. Heart hurt, feelings, down when nobody knows. And it looks like we're coming down.
Wait, I got a technical thing. This is not Bacon because on cut it says cut four. Oh no, I'm sorry. That's London Pace. Wait a minute. Did I already play Bacon?
No.
All right, here is Bacon. Excuse me. This is the Glenn Sias Experience, and the song is Bacon.
When you meet the man with bacon, watch your back and don't sleep sound. For if he catches you unawakened, sir, you find your ground and make the world round. Don't make it go round. Don't make the
Yeah, I could see people just going, yeah, bitching, dancing, drinking, really shaking their ass to that, huh? All right, now let's go on to London Pace. This is London Pace, and the song is The Way It's Supposed to Be.
Heart, heart, feelings, feel it in my toes. Heart, heart, feelings, down where nobody knows.
Why are you guys laughing in there? I mean, it's...
And it looks like we're coming down.
I wish I could hear Janice's imitation of this singer right now because Chris is on the floor.
Everyone could see what they're doing to me.
It's very nice. It's not party music, but it's very nice. It's not bad. All right, here's a band called Fugue State, and the song is Big Man. This is Fugue. No? Yeah, this is Big Man from a band called Fugue State.
Well, look at them now. Oh, they're harassing me now. Got my looking glass out, and the scars turned up.
Sure, man. I'm going to invite like 80 people to my house to listen to that. Yeah, you got it. Yeah, I really want to hear you get your freaking creative rocks off. All right, here is 7 Months. The group is called 7 Months with Change and another cut called Say Goodbye.
Be a change.
Reich at the Santa Monica Civic Auditorium.
Okay, here's the other cut.
Queens Reich and REO Speedwagon this Friday night.
Very good, very slick, very, very, very nice. 7 Months is the name of that band. Here's a group called, I think it's 86, and the song is SOS. This is 86 with SOS. I just feel like I'd have to be doing some heavy, like, Everclear or something. Yeah, just... I'm just leaning against a garage door. It ain't bad. All right, that's 86. And finally, we got DC3 and Pirate Radio.
Here come the businessman. Going by the radio tower.
like the 90210 theme. All right, that's DC3 and Pirate Radio. I liked 86. That was the one before that. That wasn't bad. I liked 86, and I liked Lucky Mama because of that Dim Changes thing. It sounded like they just recorded that in their mom's bedroom or something. You know, they just cleared out the living room and cranked that. So that's, you know, we'll throw it all into the mix on Monday. We'll pick the band that's going to play my party on Monday. You know, what a crazy thing. So these kids, what do? They go into a studio and they pay for studio time, and then they'll get like a really good engineer and they cut a demo and then they just shop it around to the record company, right? I should have known. I mean, I spent like a lot of years, you know, some 20 years as a disc jockey. I was a music director at a radio station, and good Lord, you would not believe when you have the job of a music director, the crap that they bring in. I'll never forget. Well, I don't even want to go into it. It's depressing. It's really depressing. But now what's happening, the music business is in trouble because there is a dearth of CD sales. And the question is why? Is it because everybody is downloading off of the internet? Is it because the music sucks? Is it because it just costs too much? What's the reason why nobody's buying music anymore? Now, you could almost make a case for it sucks because the Beatles were number one last summer. Well, how pathetic is that Elvis and the Beatles stay number one? And the freaking Beatles, how many records can they sell? And then Elvis Presley, there's like a dance mix of, what's the song, Viva Las Vegas? I don't even remember. I haven't heard it, but this guy is like, people are so hungry for music that some lousy Beatles anthology comes out. It's like, number one. There's people swapping music on the internet, I know. There are people that download quite a bit. My kids download until they bleed. I've never seen them go into a record store and buy a CD. Occasionally they will. Occasionally, every now and a blue moon. But these guys are downloading like mad people. And in fact, before I decided to have a band, I talked to a friend of mine who's got a kind of a cool DJ setup. He's got a sound system. And I was thinking I'd just have him play this gig. And he said, yeah, just tell me the music you like, man. It's going to take me about a week to download it. I mean, he doesn't even have this stuff in his library. He just goes online, pulls all this stuff. So these guys, these bands are competing in an ever-shrinking universe of reward, at least monetarily, I would think. Anyway, that's like my speech. I have no idea. You know, there's some really very good musicians, but it's, I don't know, it's just all, it's terrible. Okay. All right, 1-800-449-8686. And our number to pick up a package to see us in Vegas, 1-800-288-1000. 1-800-288-1000. Get a Phil Henry package. Come to the Las Vegas Luxor to see us live. And that includes Saturday night's lodging. That includes two passes to Oasis Spa. That includes two tickets to the King Tut Museum. That includes VIP passes to our party, which is, of course, the Henry Happy Hour on Friday night and the Blues and Brews Party on Saturday night, and also our live broadcast on Friday night, plus hors d'oeuvres, plus everybody attending will get a special gift from me. The package is worth over $500. You can get it, my price to you, tonight only, well, for the next several weeks, $348. 1-800-288-1000. Ask for the Phil Henry package.
And now more on the Phil Henry Show.
From yesterday's show, Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police is going door to door looking for pedophiles. He says that some of the signs there's a pedophile in the house if they have bicycle shorts. And how does he get in? He does a little Bob Fosse move. He does a little dance move right past the guy through the front door. Let's listen.
Phil Henry Show.
Comedy gold.
Let me start off by saying that I think that anybody who brings any kind of harm to a child, there must be an absolute special place in hell for them.
Well, you say that again, brother.
And it's just, it's absurd.
Say that again.
But to have someone, you know, who thinks that kind of mental illness is akin to a virus is an idiot. And I would love for you, sir, to come to my house and say you're going to play it my way or the highway or whatever it was that you said. I promise you.
Bob, let's talk about this for a minute. I have a way of, all I want to do is take a peek around.
Well, who in the hell are you, man? You know, to peek around. It sounds to me like you've got some real issues.
Sir, yes, I do have issues. I've got issues with these porn freaks take out kids.
Well, that's admirable.
Well, Bob agrees
Welcome to the human race.
Right,
and anybody who's got any sense at all feels the same way.
Of course.
But for you to have some sort of self-appointed, what are you, a major general or some such nonsense, come knocking on my door and saying, you're over 35 and I want to talk to you, we can do this way or that way, I'd snatch a knot in your ass.
I'd like to know...
Hold on.
I want to know, Jay, what's going to keep you from taking a rifle butt to the teeth? Or
look, Phil, this is not... I'm not looking for a violent confrontation, Bob. We do have ways of entering the home where we don't have to have a confrontation. And
how do you get into a man's home when he doesn't want you in there?
We could slip by the gentleman very quickly. There are maneuvers that we do at the door.
Absolute idiot. You are an idiot. And what's scary is that not only are there certainly people out there who are screwed up that we got to get off the street, we got folks who are, I assume, good intentions, but you are an absolute idiot, sir. And
sir, I don't know what the base you call me idiot. What I'm trying to do...
Well, just listening to you talk.
What I'm trying to do is keep people alive.
What you're doing here...
How do you get by
ego,
a guy...
You're an egomaniac and one with... you're not even...
Sir, I'm a brigadier admiral.
You're a brigadier admiral in what?
What is...
Citizens Auxiliary Police, sir. We are aligned with six different volunteer police agencies. What we do is, in order to get into the home, we use a very simple maneuver. It's any school child known. It's called look over there maneuver, where we point somewhere and then you look and we get by it.
You're an idiot. You're an absolute idiot.
Sir, I've been in contact with members of the Illinois Industrial Track Footers who have had a lot of success with these door-to-door searchers. Well, what do you laugh at?
Because you're an idiot.
Idiot.
I appreciate what you're trying to do.
Thank you very much.
And I think that's absolutely
what we're doing. What's wrong with
us out there?
Well,
who is concerned?
Yes, sir.
But what I'm suggesting to you is that what you're doing is not only misplaced, it's fairly.
Sir, what I would ask you is this: is what is wrong with me simply asking you? Do you have a pair of Lycra bicycle shorts in the house?
let me ask you this.
Yes, sir.
What do bicycle shorts have to do with that?
We have found...
That's the question I want to know.
We have found a medical and psychological profile of a lot of these kid porn freaks. And these freaks get the kicks killing kids. And some of these things match up. Some of these behavioral patterns match up.
Lycra...
You better be careful. If you look closely, you may very well find that they also drink milk.
Well, sure, that's ridiculous.
Well, of course it's ridiculous.
As is
bicycle shorts, though. I appreciate what you're trying to do.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
I appreciate what you're trying to do, but...
Like I said, Bob, you're really misguided.
I'm suggesting to you that were you to come to my neighborhood and try and get in my house, I'm a Vietnam veteran.
Well, I respect
son,
your service.
I would harm you. And not only would I harm you, I damn sure wouldn't answer any of your questions. I would not mind talking to...
Sir, I would tell you, I honor your...
Any police officer or that sort of thing, that'd be fine.
Well, Bob, I honor your service...
Anything I could to help.
I honor your service to our country, Bob. Yeah. But like I said, we can do it the easy way or do the hard way.
Well, you don't know what the hard way is, sir. You come to my house and try and get in my house, I'll show you the hard way.
Well, let me ask you a question. If I said, look over there, and you looked and I got by you...
Are you an idiot? Are you an absolute idiot? You got that. You just do not live in the real world.
Bill Hendry Show.
Comedy gold.
I'm sure I would harm you, son. Oh, God. I'm sure. Hey, look over there. And then he gets in the guy's house. And the best part of that bit, he's got a Bob Fosse move that he learned from Damn Yankees. And he just does kind of a jeté and leaps into the house. Well, this cat's ready to take his teeth out with a rifle butt. That's comedy. All right, 1-800-449-8686. Our website, philhenryshow.com, philhenryshow.com. It's got all the classic audio. It's got all of our 30-day archived audio, our audio archives, everything. And our souvenir shop, the Ted's of Beverly Hills bowling shirt, and the Jay Santos Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt. If you like that Jay Santos bit, if you love Jay Santos, you're going to have to get the Citizens Auxiliary Police T-shirt.
And the Vegas information is in there, too, as well. If you want more information about our Vegas trip, visit our website, philhendryshow.com.